And there is, Spencer, just so much change here with the Browns. And I do think it feels like the more change that the Browns make, that I think it almost – I don't want to say it raises the expectation for the outcome, because Baltimore has been the everything the Browns have not been. Yeah. They, you know, even when they play a bad game, they tend not to lose. And they're so dominant on the ground game. You know, Keaton Mitchell's going to be coming back here in the near future. That's I mean, with Derrick Henry being the best running back in the NFL, with Lamar being a, you know, top three passer, top four passer. So it's a lot when you look across the field, but I do think – whether it's Jameis, now new starting left tackle, new play caller, I think that has given people hope for Sunday for the Browns.
So it's funny because I do think under normal circumstances, I guess it's normal circumstances, but I do think like in general those things would give you hope in most weeks. But the problem for me is like if you block out who they're playing, it's like, oh, new play caller, we've been waiting for this. New quarterback, we've been waiting for this, even if it wasn't the way that we thought we were going to get there. New left tackle. Oh, everyone was ready to throw Jed Wilson to the side last year or the year before that even. So these are all things that you're like, oh, this could help spark something. And I do think that's on the surface why they made the decision, because I was kind of curious, like, why did Kevin give up play calling now that you have a quarterback in there who probably is more suitable for your usual system? But I do think it all just centers around the idea that, like, they're looking for some sort of spark from this team. But then the problem is you look across the sideline and realize, like, the other team they're going against is one of the best teams in football, one of the best teams in your division, one of the best teams in the AFC, and they are just – they look like an absolute juggernaut right now. And I don't know how their offense, even with all these changes – can keep up with what the Ravens are producing. And so that's the biggest hurdle for me because, like, yeah, of course, like, you see all these things changing, and I kind of thought the same thing a lot of the fans did. Like, oh, this is, you know, this is great. And then you realize where you're at in the schedule, and you're like, well, this isn't the New York Giants that they're playing anymore. This isn't the Las Vegas Raiders that they're playing anymore. This is the Baltimore Ravens, who are consensusly a top three team in football right now.
But I think what's interesting about what you're saying is I don't – because I think the easy way to feel 150% better about where this thing is that the Browns win, the offense puts up 30 points, and the defense slows down Lamar, and you get out of here with a win. That is the easy fix-all, and sometimes we think in absolutes. I think there's a fair amount of people just looking for salient on Sunday. Like, I really
like
do.
Like, they're just looking for anything better than what we've seen
so far.
Well,
yeah, I mean, I think it looking different than it looked with Deshaun, which is even if Jameis goes out there and has something that is even close to, like, the quintessential Joe Flacco game.
Yeah.
Which is, all right, maybe he has two touchdowns through the air, but he has, like, two or three interceptions. People are going to say, well, he's got two touchdowns, so it was better. Like, I think the bar is so impossibly low for Sunday that your job is just don't look the same. I still don't know they can clear that bar, Spence. I really don't. But I think there are a lot of people going into this game saying, because there's no Deshaun, you know, hanging over our head right now, because that's a decision for another day. How you bring him back? Do you trade him? Do you, you know, do you mutually eat some money? Do you post-June want him? There's all these paths forward, but you don't have to think about today because there is football to be the distraction. Well, now the distraction has to just look functional. Because I think if you look functional, I think you're going to hear a different – even if you lose, I think you're going to hear something different from Browns fans on Sunday rather than – or Monday rather than just scorched earth.
Well, and that's the other interesting part of the giving up the play calling now from the Stefanski angle of this. Because, like I said, I think the main reason for this, Nick, is to just see if these changes can help give you something different – change the outcome in some capacity, make the offense look functional. I think that is, at on the surface, like, what the main point of it is. But I also think, too, like, at 1-6, I mean, this team, this organization, they know where they're at. Like, they know making the playoffs are a long shot. I know you got Grant Delpit sort of made the tongue-in-cheek joke yesterday, you know, that he wasn't gonna approach these games any differently given how things have gone, because, you know, what happens if we finish 11-6? Like, that was kind of his, like, joke at the end of his press conference. Yeah. But we know that's not happening. Like, we know what the fate of this team is going to be by the end of the season. They have to start thinking about who's going to be here long term. What's it going to look like long term? What players do we want to build around in this next era or phase of this team? And that also centers around the coaching. Like, you got to find out if Ken Dorsey can bring some sort of juice to the offense and be an offensive coordinator that Kevin Stefanski can work with long term, or whatever is going to happen with Kevin Stefanski moving forward. You have to find out if Jameis Winston is maybe a trade chip for you, or if he can be something that you can bring back as a backup full time, or if we get to a point where Dorian Thompson Robinson starts, like what you have in him. So there's all these different sort of tentacles off of that decision and what kind of has played out this week and where they're at as a team and trying to figure out just like what this thing looks like moving forward. And so, I can understand why just seeing some progress would be a good thing in terms of like getting a read on how this is going to go the rest of the season and what's here to stay and what's not.
But you said something I think is really interesting and worth exploring here as we talk about whether you guys are expecting the offense to look better on Sunday because of all these changes. And I mean, I think a fair amount of it is, even if people don't want to admit it, the thought of just moving on from Deshaun, I think for a lot of people has them watching on Sunday that might have not watched otherwise. But you guys can pitch in at Nick Wilson says, at Spencito _ on X, social media reactions on X powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. But the thing that you said, because I really want to get to this.
No, you're good.
Because you said, well, we know where this goes from here. I think it's important to know, it's so early in the season. There is a wide variance on where it goes from here. And I think that is why Sunday, we can scoff at things like the playoffs. We can scoff at things like, is there any hope left? Can you, fix the offense in real time, all this kind of stuff. But, like, Sunday can be the beginning because it's post-Deshaun, because there's a clear demarcation here. Sunday can become the beginning of going to be a 7-win team, which would mean you go, 6-4 from here? Or you going 1-9 and maybe having the number one pick. And again, there's a lot of reasons you can spin either which way. It's best for Kevin Stefanski if they're 7-10 and not if they're, 2-15. It's probably better for the Browns if they're 2-15 than if they're – but I think that's what's so interesting is I'm not fatalistic in how this is going to look. They still have enough veterans in that room at any point to spark even a small run – that does complicate things, but just to speak to that idea of, well, we know where this is going from here. Yeah. No, I really don't. I'm assuming it's going to continue to get bad, but I don't know.
Well, and to be clear, when I say that, I mostly just mean, like, we know where they go from here is probably not the playoffs is my point. Like, we know that that's pretty much out of the question, but you are right. There are different sort of avenues and routes that this thing can go in terms of where they end up in the draft and what record they finish with, and the veterans being in the room does matter and not losing the locker room. I want to come back to that here in a second. But I was going to say, too, that's the other thing that stinks about all these changes happening now is, like, last year when Deshaun got hurt and the Joe Flacco signing goes down and all this, you can always sell hope to fans when there's, like, something to still hold on to. Like, at that point in the season, like they were like maybe a game or two over 500, but you knew like, oh no, Deshaun's done. Like writing's kind of on the wall. What's this going to mean? And that's what made the Joe Flacco thing so fun was like he came out of nowhere and then goes on this tear, takes you to the playoffs, but you still had that chance. Like there was still the possibility that you made the playoffs. You could sell that. The hard thing right now is like all these changes are happening, but it's hard to sell to anybody. Oh, guys, it's going to be okay. Like, we're going to go on this massive run now and make the playoffs because that seems like such a long shot. But to go back to just the presence of the veterans in this locker room, that is another part of where things go from here because I've said this for the last couple years now in relation to Kevin Stefanski. In 2022, when things are going south, I said what happens with that locker room is the key to whether or not they move on from Kevin Stefanski or not. If he loses the locker room, if it doesn't seem like they're playing hard for him, then I think it might be time to find a different coach. If they continue to kind of get the message, they still play hard, that maybe the results aren't there on Sunday, but they're still trying, that speaks to he hasn't lost the guys in that building. And I think, like, this is probably the biggest challenge of his career to date in that regard because he's got to find a way with a team that has one win, playoffs are a long shot, trade deadline's coming, and there might be more pieces that get moved to somehow keep these guys motivated each and every single week. And if he can do that, I don't think there's any reason why he shouldn't keep his job. But if he loses them at some point this season, if we see clear evidence of that, then yeah, that goes back into the conversation of what does his future hold, and even Andrew Berry's future hold this offseason.
I think what's interesting is also how bad do you let it get? Meaning, like, if they don't show any fight on Sunday. Because I think the other thing we haven't discussed is the fact that the players have gone out of their way to let fans know, at least one player did, hey, you lost a lot of us on Sunday with the Deshaun Watson situation. I think you add that on the field and how does it look? I think you add that to, like, leadership and how does that look? Because I, you know, we continue to, the Browns have hit rock bottom. The Browns have hit, they have not. Like, there is a low, it doesn't mean they're going to do it. But there is a level here that they can go to if this offense doesn't react well to these changes, or if Ken Dorsey is worse than Kevin Stefanski, or if .. You can draw up any from any of these changes how they don't go well. I think you would I would imagine that it's going to get really non-competitive really quickly, and that is when all of a sudden Kevin Stefanski's in-season status becomes a real conversation. Because if it looks better on Sunday, we can chalk this up and see. There's going to be a lot of people doing I was right victory dances on Monday, whether it's one game or 10
I knew Ken
games.
Dorsey should have been calling the plays all
or
along.
About, it's going to be more about Deshaun than it is about Ken Dorsey.
No,
but
for there, sure.
There's going to be people saying, hey, DeJuan looked passable at left tackle, and he actually played for 3 full seconds. Like, this is what I've been saying. There's going to be a lot of victory laps. That doesn't mean that's true, by the way, but it does at least calm the storm for the Browns. If it looks worse or if it looks the same, it means that the vocal minority who said, yes, Deshaun is bad, but it ain't just about him. And when if that's the case, that's when more questions, like think of the tough questions that started to get asked on this. Like, is Kevin guaranteed the season? Should they trade Miles? Guys, that's going into game 8.
Yeah.
Like, imagine the kind of questions. The longer you lose, you turn 5 losses into 6, 6 losses into 7, 7 losses into 8 off the bye. That's when all of a sudden the questions that you're starting to ask are deeply penetrating the foundation of this roster and this locker room. And by the way, we should be asking them now. This is abhorrent. This is embarrassing. I think that's part of why the players have continued to pound this drum of acting as if every Cleveland fan was cheering Deshaun's injury.
Right.
Because I think it changes the conversation of what an abject failure and embarrassment is for a locker room that has pounded their chest and said, we don't really need leadership. This is a player-led locker room. Then where did you guys fail? Because we're not going to do the revisionist history. We're not going to do the revisionist history that if this thing goes to 2-15 or 1-16, we're not going to do this, it changed the moment that Deshaun's injury got cheered. Nah, blow that out of the water. No. There's a veteran locker room, and it is wild how quickly they are to point the fingers externally, and yet I never hear. The most we get pointing back at them is, I just got to play better. Well, no bleep, Sherlock.
Well, you
have to play better.
I mean, you're spot on. Like, we should have maybe been talking more about the fact that this team had just lost another game and they were 1-6. And what was the conversation after Sunday? I mean, we spent 3 days, the better part of 3 days, like talking about the dynamics between the fan base and the team now, and are they going to kind of rally around each other? And we were still asking guys like Nick Chubb about his thoughts on it on Wednesday. Like, the fact that they dropped to 1-6 was basically a footnote in that game. Nick Chubb returning was basically a footnote in that game because it became this war between players and the fans. And I do think on some level, like, it was warranted for them to say some of the things that they said. And I think that the fans were right to get defensive and say, like, it wasn't all of us and that doesn't speak to all of us and you can't put it on all of us and that's not how we feel about you guys. But, I agree with you. Like, it can't just be about that, and that can't distract from the failures within that organization and how bad this team has been.
If it looks better on Sunday, even marginally better, like it just looks functional, is your main takeaway going to be this was all on Deshaun? Or is it still something other than that?
I will never, and this, again, I'm not trying to be some like Deshaun sympathizer here, which I know people get lumped into that box, but I will never look.
You didn't call him an awful person, an awful football player. You love
you
Deshaun,
didn't do it,
just
you didn't
admit
do
it.
Or you didn't do it enough. No, like, I listen, I think Deshaun, when he was out there, was bad. I thought there were some signs on Sunday that he was looking a little bit better, but the sum of its parts, everything we saw this year in its entirety, was a bad football player and bad football that was being played, bad quarterbacking. But I will never look back on this year and say it was solely on Deshaun. I mean, unless like Jameis Winston's like lighting it up and putting up like 40 points and 400 yards a game, like I guess like kind of like Joe Flacco did last year. That's the only way I guess I would feel that way. But there was clearly more problems than just Deshaun with this team, and I think those things are still going to be present. But I think we'll be able to safely say if things look better on Sunday. Let me put it this way. We'll be able to safely say if the quarterbacking looks better on Sunday that Deshaun was a bigger part of the problem than maybe we were letting on through the first 6 weeks of the season.